Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Cast of Kings, an unofficial podcast about the HBO original series House of the Dragon. I am David Chen, and I am joined today by the entertainment reporter over at Insider, as well as the author of the unofficial guide to Game of Thrones, Kim Renfro. How's it going today?
It's going fantastic. I'm on a little bit of a cloud nine, I think, this morning.
Yes, because we are recording this episode. Basically, what we're going to discuss today is your experience last night at the official premiere for House of the Dragon. Woo! Congratulations! Woo!
Yeah, I'm so happy that I got invited and got to experience that.
So I have so many questions, so much I want to hear from you about. But first, I just want to talk through a couple things, lay down a few ground rules, okay? I think this is pretty obvious, but I just want to make sure it's clear for everyone. We are not actually going to talk about any House of the Dragon material that was viewed last night. This podcast episode will only be about vibes, okay? But no conversation about the actual show, because we are going to recap the actual season premiere when it comes out after August 21st. August 21st is the premiere date, and we'll have the recap up probably a day after that. So no spoilers. You don't need to worry about any of that or anything of that kind. I do also want to make an announcement about this podcast and how you can experience this podcast. You can find more episodes of the show at acastofkings.com. New URL that I'm using to advertise the show. I think it fits with the show.
Love it.
Simple, elegant, pure, you know? Mm-hmm. But you can find more episodes of the show at castofkings.com. Now, we are going to be doing some stuff with video this year at a scale and at a rate that we have not done before. And if you want to make sure you are keeping up to date with all that, all you got to do is go to castofkings.com/YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we'd actually really appreciate it if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, because there's things you can do when you get to like 100 subscribers that you can't do before that. So we would love to get 100 subscribers on the YouTube channel as soon as possible. If you're listening to this, please go to castofkings.com/YouTube. Just hit subscribe. Trust us. There's going to be some good stuff there, but we'd really appreciate that. Also, castofkings.com/TikTok. We got a TikTok page. We're going to be posting excerpts of our podcast on there. Castofkings.com/TikTok is where you can find that. That is some announcements for the podcast and how you can experience it for the upcoming season of House of the Dragon. Okay. Let's get into it, Kim. And actually, one last thing before we get into the premiere, which is that we are going to be releasing at least one additional episode between now and the premiere of House of the Dragon. Kim Renfro has done interviews with anonymous sources, presently unnamed key players around House of the Dragon. We cannot disclose who they are, but they are really freaking important. And at some point in the next couple weeks, we'll be able to disclose who she has talked with and also react to the material that was revealed in those interviews. So to make sure you don't miss that, be sure to just subscribe to all that stuff I just said, TikTok, YouTube, but also, most importantly, the main podcast at acastofkings.com. So just want to let people know what they can expect between now and when House of the Dragon premieres. All right, Kim. Let's get into it. Last night you went to the House of the Dragon premiere. Now, please tell our listeners how many premieres you've been to in the past, including this one.
For Game of Thrones specifically,
yes,
or just
Game of
in
Thrones
general?
Specifically. Game of Thrones specifically.
This was my third show premiere. So I got to go to the season 7 premiere, the season 8 premiere, and then a couple of like Emmys HBO after parties, which were always fun, but those aren't really premieres. So this was like my third like episode viewing, cast and crew are there, everything. The whole shebang.
So tell us about like the shape of the evening. Like how does the evening play out just in terms of like a rundown?
Yeah. So they, for COVID, actually, interestingly this year, like that was a little bit of a factor. So they mailed me a special COVID test. So every single person who attended had to have taken a COVID test the morning of and sent it off sent the results to them. So when we arrived, they like cross-checked our names and that like you were definitely COVID safe. And there was, it was at the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures, that new like movie museum.
The Academy Museum, yeah.
Yeah, that just opened. I'd never been there before. So it was there. They had a little red carpet. And then there's sort of like a photo op welcoming you. So they had a giant dragon head. I think it was supposed to be like the big Balerion skull. And you know, the little, what do they call it? The like walk and pose, like the big
step and repeat, I believe.
Step and repeat. Walk and pose was close. Sure.
So step and repeat is basically like a backdrop where it has like House of the Dragon and HBO branding on it, and you step there, it's well lit, and so you step there and you take a picture and then you leave, and then someone else steps there and takes a picture and so on. You know, many stars will do that, and that's usually what generates all the photos that come up the next day.
Yeah, so I'm sure if you Googled around today, you would see like the big, House of the Dragon wall. And then we had about like an hour to kill before they wanted us seated in the theater to watch the episode. So I just spent that time meeting all my friends who I've met through the whole Game of Thrones community. So Joanna Robinson was there. Woo! Got to give her a hug and hang out, and that was amazing. I haven't seen her in a little while. Mallory and Jason, who used to co-host Binge Mode together, but now, as everyone knows, like Mallory and Joe are doing Ringerverse.
Jason's doing the official House of the Dragon podcast.
Yeah, that was just announced yesterday, which was cool. So yeah, I congratulated him on that, and so it was like a lot of like hanging around, chit-chatting, the anticipation slowly building. And then we went inside, got seated. They gave everyone a little plastic bag for their cell phones, which like I thought they were just going to straight up take our phones away, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just like gave us the bag and trusted that everybody's going to like self-zip this bag up whenever the time comes.
Interesting. There's been experiments with that. I know like Dave Chappelle has a system where you basically place your phone in a bag that is locked for the duration of the performance.
Yeah.
And then it like automatically unlocks. And so that way, like one of the big issues with like taking in phones at these screenings is you as a human being don't necessarily want to trust a random person, a random security guard who may or may not be paid slightly more than minimum wage, your cell phone for a 2-hour duration. And it's like, what if someone just runs by and steals? Like, you have no control over it. So the idea of like having a way to like hang on to the device is good. But it sounds like they weren't too strict about it.
No, I feel like I have it right here. It's literally like a bat. Like, it's just...
Okay, if you're listening to the audio version, Kim is holding up a bag that looks like just like a Ziploc bag that would barely conceal any kind of camera at all. Like,
no, and it's just a standard Ziploc. Like,
it's not like one of the special ones, basically.
Yeah. Right. Because I know what you're talking about. I went to, you know, Hannah Gadsby, comedian.
Yeah.
I saw Hannah Gadsby recently, and I'm assuming that material is going to be in like a special at some point. So they gave us those fancy, like they watched us put our phones on airplane mode, put it in the bag, and it fully is locked. Like,
yeah, it's called Yonder, by the way, the company that does this, YONDR.
Yeah.
But they basically have this, which I think is a pretty cool system because
I would
generally, if I had a screening where they said no cell phones, I'd like leave it in the car and I wouldn't feel great about that either.
Yeah.
You know? So, but anyway, you got to hang onto your phone and it sounds like they didn't give too much of a crap about whether or not you were filming. So
what I did spy once the lights went down, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but like they have security guards with like night vision binoculars, basically. So I saw those were on high alert to like check people's laps. But yeah, so sealed my phone away.
When I go to screening sometimes, which is like a very, like, it's a very ridiculous notion, this idea that film critics will jeopardize their livelihood by filming and pirating, you know, movie stuff. But anyway, yeah, I will say it's not the most relaxing environment to watch a screening of something while people are pointing night vision goggles at you for the duration. But you know,
you are correct.
Obviously, other things, you know, override that, like the thrill of going to the House of the Dragon premiere. So, what did they show? Did they show just one episode? Did they show the preview of the season? Anything else? And was there a Q&A or anything like that? Like, what happened there?
Yeah. So, we got in, got our seats. Another fun thing about these premieres is that, like, once you're seated, basically once all the normies are seated is when the cast will trickle in. Like, mm-hmm. they're usually the last to come in. So it's fun to watch them, like, pass you and they're hugging each other and catching up and chit-chatting. So, like, cast came in, everyone eventually got settled down. And then Casey Bloys, who's the chief content officer over at HBO, he's basically been overseeing the programming there for years and years now. He was, like, a big shepherd of Game of Thrones and then obviously is now doing House of the Dragon. So he came out, gave a little speech, thanked a lot of people at HBO, like gave shout outs to everyone. And then Miguel Sapochnik and Ryan Condal, the co-showrunners, came out and they also just gave a little talk, introduced the episode. They did say that George was supposed to be there and speak, but he was not after Comic-Con. Maybe it was like a COVID risk thing. Totally makes sense. They introduced the episode. So we watched the full episode, and then before it rolled, they were like, stay in your chairs, because after the credits, you're going to see the In the Weeks Ahead teaser. So we got maybe like another minute and a half of the footage from all the upcoming episodes, which was cool.
Yeah. And you, for those who are unaware, usually after a season premiere, like I assume we will see that when we watch House of the Dragon on HBO as well. They'll show like In the Weeks Ahead, which will be basically like a season long preview next time on to entice you to continue watching the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I have a cat here.
Okay. There's some cat interference going on. Yeah. What's your cat's name, Kim?
This is Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Named for the video game by my husband. Our other cat is Lily, named for Lily Potter, which is a little unfortunate now. I should probably change that. Whenever some people are always like, oh, is it Zelda for like Zelda Fitzgerald? And I'm like, no, it's the video game.
No, it's the Legend of Zelda on NES. OGs understand this.
Yeah.
And then what happened after? What was the flow of things afterwards? There was like a party afterwards, right?
So first of all, that theater was just really cool. It almost looks from the outside like it's an exploratorium or something. It's sort of like sphere shaped, and then you get in. Also,
I've never heard the term exploratorium. Do you mean like planetarium? I've never heard that term exploratorium before.
Is that not a thing?
No, I think it's a thing.
I think in San Francisco there's a place.
There is a thing called Exploratorium in San Francisco. I don't think it's a generalized term though.
Okay, well, I've been to the Exploratorium in San Francisco, and it was giving me Exploratorium vibes.
Got it.
Which yes, and like in the Museum of Natural History in New York too, there's like the big like space room, and it's basically like a big glass box. Structure with like a big sort of like sphere inside that's a little auditorium for you to like go watch a planet show or something. So it was in this cool theater, and then once the episode was finished, everyone just like started like trickling out towards the exits, and we went up to the rooftop. There's like, it's called like the Dolby Terrace or something. Mm-hmm. Joanna was telling me, I guess that's where, if you watch the COVID Oscars, they did like a whole filmed bit up there. It has like just an insane view of like the Hollywood Hills and like most of LA. The sun had just set. There was a DJ spinning some tunes, a giant cheese board, which is always the sign of a good party. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe the sign that they made us all take COVID tests, which made me feel better. But I was like, oh, we're fully back to just like grabbing each other's food. Just hands are everywhere. They had a fun little photo booth station with two thrones and a bunch of dragon eggs. So like if you wanted to like sit on the throne and hold a dragon egg and get your picture taken, you could. A nice bar. I was at the bar ordering myself a glass of wine and saw Matt Smith on the other side, like, hey, can I get another Peroni? And nobody was serving him. And he just walked away after. And I was like, oh no, Matt Smith needs a beer. Someone get that man a beer.
So all the stars were there. All the stars were there, like, hanging out, hobnobbing, and intermixing with the normies, you know, it sounds like.
Yeah, the way that these things go is, like, there's usually, like, seating. Usually, like, peripheral seating, like, little couches and tables and stuff. And there's typically just, like, a reserved section for all the HBO folks. So, like, the cast, the stars, the PR people. And then the party kind of, like, you can see people sort of taking laps to, like, pass by and get a glimpse of the stars. And then, obviously, sometimes they come to get a drink for themselves or whatever mm-hmm. and are, like, mingling.
The guy who is serving Matt Smith must have seen Morbius. I just thought of that as a witty retort just now, and I was like, I should have said that 30 seconds ago.
He definitely saw Morbius and was like, not that guy.
He's like, not today. Okay, back to the party thing.
So party, it was just, again, like, really nice to just get to, like, sit and hang with, like, Joanna and the crew, some other podcast folks, the guys from Bald Move. Two of the guys were there, Anthony and Aaron, and, like, their producer. Haven't seen them in person since, like, the last Con of Thrones, which was 2019. I don't even know if they were there in 2019. Just getting to catch up with other Game of Thrones folks that I haven't seen in a really long time was really fun. And honestly, it was just, like, it felt so nice to be, like, gabbing about new Westeros things and, like, swapping impressions and, like, kind of, like, confirming. Like, we did a little bit of, like, okay, that was that. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. This was this thing, like, kind of, like, resourcing off each other. And it was just a lot of fun. It was also, it felt a little bit more intimate, I would say, than the past premieres, especially since the season 8 premiere is the last one I was at, which is, like, they went full out for that. They packed Radio City Music Hall with, like, I don't even know how many people you can sit in there, but that was a full theater. Whereas this one, it was a much smaller theater, and, like, not even all the seats were full. Like, it felt probably because of COVID, there was probably, like, an attendance limitation, I'm guessing, or something. But it just was a little more intimate and nice.
So, that was going to be one of my questions, which is, how did this one compare with previous ones? Now, Radio City Music Hall has a capacity of 6,000 people. The Academy Museum Theater has a capacity of 288.
Oh my God!
So you're saying, does it sound roughly correct? Is that right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that the Academy Theater's 288 seat theater was not even full.
No.
Probably not for lack of popularity or anything, but just because like they chose to not fill it.
Yeah.
And Radio City Music Hall was like 6,000 people packed to capacity.
It was, I'm pretty sure someone maybe correct me if it wasn't fully full. I was on the lower.
But even if it was mostly full, that's like a, you know, 20x difference in terms of size.
Totally nuts. I mean, and like the after party for that was like, triple the size. It was like multi-story. It was like a multi-story party.
So this feels like a very intimate, small affair then, by comparison.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a party. And they filled that terrace with people. And like I said, they had like a little like DJ going and everything. But it was just like, it just felt nice. It felt like just hanging out with friends again. And some of the people in the room happened to be very famous and or working for HBO. But it was really nice. Also, just in comparison, like for me personally, I think for the Game of Thrones premieres, those were always very like, that was a high pressure environment for me because I was like doing red carpet interviews and like that was going to be the only time I was going to be able to watch the episode before the premiere. So I was like frantically taking notes and like really in work mode. I think what was really nice about this one is that I can guess that I will have access to the episode again I'll just say that vaguely. I'm pretty sure I will be able to see it again before August 21st.
You're manifesting it.
And I didn't do the red carpet stuff this time. And I'm just like, I've now written and published a book. Like, I'm in such like a nicer, like confident, like.
You're the co-host of A Cast of Kings.
I'm the co-host of a famous Game of Thrones podcast. Look at me. I was just so much more comfortable because I'm like, okay, I now know what this experience is going to be like. I know a lot more people in the room now. And this is a brand new show. It's kind of like we're getting that reset of like a clean slate, as opposed to there being a lot of pressure around like, is the final season going to be amazing, or is season 7 going to go off the rails, or like all of the sort of like periphery stuff that kind of came with the pressure of those events wasn't there this time. It was just like, oh, hey, we're doing Game of Thrones again. Like, isn't this fun, but new? So, I woke up today feeling very grateful and lucky and happy to have gotten to experience that and have it be such like a really cool evening.
First of all, that's awesome. I'm glad you had a great time. Anything else you can say about the vibes from the night? So, I mean, let's get to the vibes in a bit, actually. How about this? General thoughts on the episode. Are you able to say whether you liked it or not, or is that embargoed at this point?
They said we could have, they said social media reactions are kosher, just no specific reviews. So yes. I do think it's totally fine for me to say that I think the episode is good. And I think it lands in a smart way for opening this series and getting people to be excited about seeing more. I think it was well crafted, and you can tell that they were like really trying to nail that tone. And I think that they did.
Is there anything you can say about how this premiere of this show compares to Game of Thrones or Game of Thrones premiere episodes, like, or even like Game of Thrones pilot, right? Season 1, episode 1. Like, do you have any thoughts on like how those compare that you can talk about?
I think that that's going to be the best comparison, is the Game of Thrones pilot to this. Cause it is like, there are certain go-to structures in pilots, right? Like, you have to introduce a certain number of characters, set up a certain number of like storylines that you're then going to follow through with for the season / the whole series. Like, we've seen stuff that was in the Game of Thrones pilot that like almost came full circle in the finale, right? I can't think of anything off the top of my head, which I should be able to.
For one thing, Bran was pushed off of a tower, and who would have guessed that the guy that was pushed out of the tower would end up ruling the Seven Kingdoms?
He had the best story, Dave.
The best story. Thank you.
in the pilot, Bran probably does have the best / like also, most chaotic story.
Was Night King introduced in season 1, episode 1?
No. White Walkers were, though. Night King.
Got it.
No, it was just... It's so, yes, I think I can say pilot to pilot, it felt very in line with what the Game of Thrones pilot had to do, which was like this sprawling set of people. You got to care about some of these characters right away. You have to like understand their dynamic, their emotional drives that are going to be the propeller for the rest of the series. And I think it succeeded in that in the same way that I think the final version of the Game of Thrones pilot did.
Yeah. So it sounds like the episode confidently kind of establishes a new set of players and a set of storylines that we're going to follow throughout the season.
Yeah, and it feels like Westeros.
And there's some, I would argue, there's some pilots for prequels that don't do that. You know, here's an example, like Better Call Saul, a show that's literally one of my favorite shows on TV. Like, I don't think they really knew what they were doing in season 1, to be honest with you. And they were kind of like finding the show as they went along. It sounds like from what you're saying again, Better Call Saul, it's like, I love this show more than anything else that's airing in 2022 as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll change when House of the Dragon comes out. But season 1, episode 1, I felt like the whole season they were still like really figuring out what the heck's going on. And it sounds like with House of the Dragon, feels like a confident debut. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think now I will zip my lips.
All right. Sounds good. You've already said too much. Let's talk about the vibes. You know, I know you had a great time and hanging out with people that you knew and everything like that. But, like, I'm curious, you know, what were the vibes there? Was everyone, like, really, like, enthusiastic, excited about the show? Obviously, some of them are paid to do that, you know. But I guess I'm just curious, like, did you feel like you were, you know, sometimes you go to one of these events and you could feel, like, a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Around. Usually there's a lot of energy because people are spending tens of thousands of dollars to make this thing happen. But anything in the vibes that was atypical or notable?
I don't know if I would use the word atypical, but it definitely had a little bit less of that, like, buzziness as, like, the later season Game of Thrones premieres. I wasn't at the Game of Thrones season one premiere. I don't even know if they had, like, a full premiere, which is kind of nuts to think about in retrospect, right? It felt to me like a lot of the folks there who are hoping this show is a success were like, this was the first time that they were listening to and, like, depending on if you were just, like, looking around in your seat, like, watching normal people respond to this show. And I think that they have a lot riding on it, right? Like, the hope is that they're going to do a lot more of these. And if the first one is not a success, that probably is not going to bode too well for the future of all of those plans. So I did pick up, I think, from, like, a little bit of Casey Blaze's speech and stuff that, like, there's a little bit of a slight nervousness to what the response is going to be. It's like I felt a confidence coming from everyone of, like, we think we did a good job, but I think that they know that that doesn't always mean it's going to translate. Like, clearly all of the folks who worked, like, crazy around the clock hours on Game of Thrones season 8 were very confident that they were, like, that this was going to go amazingly, and instead they got a very visceral response from a lot of people. And so I think that they're now aware that, like, okay, even if we are confident that we're nailing it, we can't control how people are going to respond to this, and we don't know if that confidence is actually going to play out in, like, a universally beloved thing. You can't be universally beloved, I know, but, like, there's a difference between, like, regular fan critique and, like, the uproar that Game of Thrones season 8 caused, right?
Yeah, my sense is, or my guess would be, like, at some of those other premieres, like season 7 or season 8 premiere or whatever, or 6 or 7, you know, like, that the tone is probably a conqueror riding home to his castle, right? Like,
yeah.
They are dominating the TV landscape. They're like, hey, like, this is the biggest show on television. Welcome, like, they're being very kind of generous and magnanimous and, like, with the tone and very confident. And it seems like it's slightly less confidence because my guess is they did not acknowledge that there was a huge backlash, right? Obviously.
No.
That would be very not PR safe.
No.
But it sounds like they're very...
Not in the talking points.
Not in the talking points. But it sounds like they're, like, they're cautiously dipping their toe back in and they feel good, but they're not, like, 100% sure it's going to work. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they feel good, they like what they did, and they're just hoping that everybody else is going to also. And so that being said, that's why I think the after party was fun, because I think at that point there was, like, a relaxation.
Yes.
Okay, it's out there.
An unclenching.
Exactly. And, like, I haven't really poked around much for whatever social media reactions other people might have, but I don't think I talked to a single person who didn't like it. There was a lot of just, like, you know, you process these things out loud. Sometimes it takes me, like, a couple days to, like, really figure out how I felt about an episode of television. But all of the initial reactions that I were hearing were, like, overall positive. And I think that contributed to a, like, all right, let's have a glass of champagne and,
yeah,
listen to this DJ for the next few hours. We did it.
Speaking of audience reaction, what was the audience reaction like? Like, you know, sometimes you have a very reactive audience. People, like, applaud when their name comes up, you know, like, in the credits, and you know, like what were people like gasping, laughing? Like, what was the situation?
I heard some gasps. The woman next to me was full on like covering her face when there was a bit of classic Game of Thrones violence happening on the screen. Those were kind of like the two notable things. And then, yeah, everybody applauded at the end credits. Mm-hmm. I was kind of wondering if people were going to applaud like mid episode, but again, like, cause people did that at like the season 8 premiere. I remember,
like, it's like Kramer showing up in a Seinfeld episode. Like, whenever someone shows up on screen, everyone starts clapping, basically.
I want to say John rides a dragon for the first time in the first episode of season 8, right?
I don't remember if it was the first episode, but it was, yeah, I remember that moment.
I'm pretty sure it was because I remember people applauding. Like, because that was like, he touched a dragon, like it's all happening. Yeah, but that wasn't, I think that people were more focused on like getting the content of the story as opposed to like looking out for fun cameos or whatever, or like really thrilling moments. I think people were just sort of like tuned into the episode as it was happening, and then yeah, as soon as the credits hit, everybody applauded.
Cool. You mentioned one of your favorite moments, or some of your favorite moments, were, you know, just kind of seeing the stars interact with each other, you know, while you're chilling there. Any other kind of notable moments from the evening that we haven't covered yet?
I don't think so. Although, well, just personally, I got a chance to chat with Miguel Sapochnik, not like an interview or anything, but I talked to him towards the end of the night, and that was just so, it was really nice. I still to this day have never spoken to David Benioff or D.B. Weiss. They were always a lot more closed off from press and interviews and stuff, which is anyone's prerogative or whatever. But he was just like really open and chill and nice. Also, I think that you know this. Maybe, I don't know. I have a direwolf tattoo. Mm-hmm. On my arm. And this was the first time I had been to a Game of Thrones event since I got that tattoo. And, like, he noticed it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, fully... I can't hide my nerddom for this thing and, like, play cool, removed reporter all the time because I'm clearly just, like, geeked out here about my direwolves. And
Showed it to Miguel Sapochnik, or
he noticed it because it's just like on my arm, and we were talking, and he was like, oh, nice wolf tattoo. And I was like, it's a direwolf, it's actually Ghost, thanks for not killing him in the Battle of the Bastards. Really appreciated that. That was just another notable moment for me. But as far as like observing everyone else, I don't think. And I guess that's another thing, because this was a much more like intimate, I keep using that word, it wasn't like, you know, we're sitting around and having wine all together in like a circle, but it was just smaller. So that meant that like at the past premieres, you would usually get a lot of actors and celebrities from other HBO shows who would be there to like add to the red carpet hype or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like super glammed up. Everybody like, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of extraneous celebrities who weren't directly connected to House of the Dragon. And everyone seemed a little bit more like casual dress, which is always nice for a premiere. I didn't feel underdressed in my little cotton shebang.
Interesting. Interesting. Maybe people are still learning how to get back into the premieres after after COVID.
Probably. My husband was like, this suit does not fit me anymore. we need to upgrade all of the formal wear after 3 years of a pandemic, which is totally understandable.
Indeed. Well, I'm so glad you had a chance to go to the premiere, and it sounds like you had a great time, and that there's going to be a lot to talk about once the premiere actually hits HBO on August 21st, right?
Yeah. If last night did one thing, it really put me in like a much more excited and like confident place for what we have in store covering this show. And I'm really excited that we get to talk about all the juicy details in the not too distant future.
Yes, there's stuff that you've already covered that we will discuss in much more detail in the next couple weeks. So again, stay subscribed to Cast of Kings wherever your podcast can be found. I think that'll wrap it up for us then today. Again, you can find more episodes of the show at acastofkings.com. Email us at acastofkings@gmail.com. And be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and TikTok. acastofkings.com/YouTube, acastofkings.com/TikTok. Kim Renfro, thanks for sharing and congrats again on going to the premiere.
Thanks. Thanks for letting me dish about it. And yeah, I can't wait to do more. Thanks everyone for listening.
We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.